It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
So now.
Okay. Now, are you ready yet? Huh? Well, we were five minutes ago. Okay. I don't know if people are still with us or not.
So, welcome to Insight.
Yes.
This kind of chilly, rainy Wednesday evening. I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about the rain. I think we could use a little bit.
Yeah, see, I had a farmer tell me last week that he said, man, we need some rain. I said, you're taking your crops off. Why do you need rain? Static electricity.
Really?
And he said, I had to stop and put out two smolders yesterday.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So that didn't occur to me. He said, you know, you have the fiberglass going along and it creates a little static electricity. If you have a little bit of extremely dry fluff around
stubble
there,
and,
yeah, it can definitely get started. That hadn't occurred to me.
Well, it is that time of year that we wish all of our farmers a very safe and bountiful harvest. And
yes, and drive safely when you're around them. Here's something I saw the other day on the internet, and it makes plenty of sense. If you're driving behind a farmer, there's two things. Number one, he's probably not going very far, so he's going to turn fairly soon. And you always assume they're going to turn left if there's a place for them to turn. So unless, like yesterday, I came up behind one. So I waited. There's guardrails up 100 yards or so. So I waited till I got to the guardrails because he ain't turning at the guardrail.
Yeah.
And went around him. So you just kind of make sure, or you go very, very slowly. Watch for any kind of sign of them getting ready to turn. You know, they're going to turn sometime. Half the time left, half the time right. So,
this message sponsored by Neil the Safety Dog.
Yes, woof.
So, Neil's already working to keep us safe around here. And we welcome in the studio the Democratic candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Don Holvoit. Hello, Don.
Hi, Neil, and thank you very much for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's fantastic to have you. I'd tell you what. It is always interesting at this time of year when we get candidates for the various office, you know.
Let me throw in real quick, Jack. This week and the next 3 weeks, we will have the candidates for the local offices, the state representative. And so we'll be speaking with both state representatives and both county commissioner candidates. Both state representative candidates and both county commissioners. So, go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. And, you know, because Don, we were talking. There's always two sides to every coin and two candidates for every ballot usually. And it is always interesting to get different perspectives. So you know, let's give the people a chance to get to know Don Holvoit. So can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing, your education, your career?
Yeah, sure, Jack. Thank you for asking. Actually, I'm a native Daytonian. I was born in Dayton, Ohio. I was educated in 12 years of parochial school, devout Catholic during my growing up period. I was an altar boy, later a lector. This is where my volunteer service actually began, was with the church. And I began as a lector in grade school, was later ordained a extraordinary minister. And at the age of 15, distributed communion. Of course, this is back in the days when access to the sanctuary was very limited,
yeah,
as you may recall. I went to Holy Family School in Dayton. I went to Chaminade High School in Dayton and graduated with the last all-male graduating class from Chaminade. I went to Wright State University. I was educated at Wright State University. I went on to be a human resources professional as a result of my education and spent 38 years in that profession. I began with the Miami Conservancy District in Dayton as their PR and HR guy. So I ran around and did speaking engagements and talked about the history of the flood control in Dayton and about in other communities around the Miami Valley, and also about the history of Ohio and various activities that have transpired as a result of the prosperity that the flood control system brought about. As a human resources professional, I also practiced in healthcare, defense contracting, and manufacturing.
Fantastic. So from those Dayton upbringings, how did you find your way to Mercer County?
Oh, I spent a lot of time in Mercer County when I was growing up. My father loved to fish, and I came to the lake to fish with my father, but we also attended many of the festivals that were held here in Mercer County as was growing up. So I came to love this area, and when the opportunity arose to move to this area, I was just delighted. So I've lived here now for a decade, and I love it here, and I'm just looking forward to serving the people of our county.
Okay, so you've lived in the area for about 10 years, you say?
Yes.
Okay. Well, cool. So, you know, you running for county commissioner's not a new thing to you.
No.
Correct?
That's correct. I ran in 2020 as well.
Okay. And you ran against Jerry Laffin, I think, that first time. And you, during that process, one of the things that you came up with was your 5-point pledge.
That's correct.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to touch on that right after we take a little break, and we'll talk about Don Holvoit's 5-point pledge when we come back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
The Cooper Farms Turkey Trot is back for its 15th year on Saturday, November 5th. Join us as we race, gobble, and once again give to our friends at Everhart Hospice Care. The Turkey Trot begins at Cooper Farms Processing Plant at 1 Cooper Farms Drive in St. Henry, Ohio. Registration and packet pickup begins at 9 a.m. with race starting at 10. Water and refreshments, including a to-go turkey meal, will be provided to all participants, as well as several door prizes awarded. To view full details and to register, visit speedyfeet.com and search for Cooper Farms Turkey Trot.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 8th, and that means the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and a drink. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. There's no pre-sale tickets this year. Tickets are only $7, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day All-You-Can-Eat Spaghetti Supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 8th.
Insight. Jack Stogler talking to Democratic candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Don Holboyd. And Don, we talked right before the break. When you ran in 2020, part of your platform was to come up with like your 5-point pledge. And we talked, and you probably tweaked that a little bit for 2022, but
yes.
A lot of the nuts and bolts are probably still the same.
Absolutely.
So let's just touch on those five pledges.
Okay, very well. Let's start with healthcare. You know, healthcare is very near and dear to my heart, not only because much of my family works in the healthcare industry, but also because I spent some time as a human resources professional in the healthcare industry. But one of the things that I, in one assignment I had as an HR professional in healthcare, involved a rural hospital. And I got very familiar with the challenges that rural hospitals can face in communities where funding's not the best and the resources aren't the best. So I have a kind of a soft spot in my heart for rural hospitals and the resources that they can garner in caring for our citizens. So every rural hospital faces very unique challenges. And the security of our citizens and the health care of our citizens is at stake. So one of my pledges is that I would be very supportive of our healthcare system, not only our hospital here in Mercer County, but all the ancillary services that the hospital may offer. So it's very important to me that we have good quality health care in Mercer County. But it's also important to me that we have affordable health care in Mercer County. As an HR professional, I've set up many, many health care plans over the years, everything from fully paid plans to self-pay plans, to high deductible plans, to no deductible plans. And one of the things that I'd like to propose going forward as a county commissioner is to work with our local insurance agencies and our healthcare resources to kind of put together a healthcare plan for our county. Now, this is not just for individuals. You know, it would be something that the businesses could buy into, thereby reducing their individual healthcare costs through private plans and increasing their benefit to their employees. You know, but it would also be available to individuals. Now, the key to developing a good healthcare plan is a risk pool. So the larger the risk pool, the more reasonable you can make those fees. So and that's key here, is that we have 41,000 citizens here in Mercer County, and if we can offer a healthcare plan that would be available to 41,000 citizens plus others coming into the county and for employers here in Mercer County, if we could offer that plan and that risk pool, I believe that we could make a very affordable and a very well-covered healthcare plan here in Mercer County.
So, and I'm not an expert on the role of a county commissioner. So how does the role of a commissioner kind of coordinate or with like the local hospital? You know, because I don't think there's any county funding that goes towards that, or maybe they.
That's the key. and of course, you know, one of the differences perhaps of my approach to county commissioner is I understand, I think if you listen close enough and you push me enough, you'll find that I'm basically a fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
You know, but I also understand that the finances available to the county are finite. You know, that without introducing new taxes, which I strongly oppose, I will say that right off the top.
Yeah.
Without introducing new taxes, you know, that money has to be spent in a certain way. You know, my approach to a county commissioner would be to spend that money more towards the people individually, you know, and offer programs that would benefit them. So that it's not to take away from the programs that we currently have necessarily, but to perhaps establish a different priority in that spending.
Sure. Okay. When you developed this back in 2020, that was right during the heat of the pandemic.
Correct.
So how did that help drive this platform, and how has it changed since then?
Actually, what's changed is the way I looked at it. So back during the pandemic, when I developed this kind of healthcare thought, if you will, I was more concerned at that point in time about our healthcare workers, you know, and the resources that we had being stretched so thin, materials stretched so thin, the physical and mental well-being of our healthcare workers, our nurses, our doctors, you know, all their support personnel, they were working very, very hard, you know, in keeping up with the health of our citizens. And that was my concern during the pandemic, and it still is. However, you know, now that the pandemic has officially been ended, so they say, that the cases of COVID here in Mercer County have stabilized somewhat, the emphasis now is on prevention and trying to keep us from having that same thing happen here in Mercer County. And I mention that now because I can bring that up. One of the things that I support strongly, and I'm sure that I can speak for other Democrats in the county, we support very strongly the health department, the health district's levy. You know, the health district has done just wonderful things in Mercer County, and they continue to do that. You know, Jason Menchover and his dedicated team of volunteers have just done wonderful things. I, in fact, myself, just went last Friday to get my bivalent vaccine at one of their drive-through clinics. You know, a tremendous tremendous operation that they pull off. They're very smooth, and I was expecting not to be in a very big crowd, but I was almost backed up to the gate, winding around the fairgrounds, waiting for my vaccine. And I have to say that I was just happy as could be to do so. I was just thrilled to see that many people lining up, you know, for their bivalent vaccine.
Yeah.
And I did see Jason there. He was, he seemed happy and pleased that everyone was getting the bivalent vaccine. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the health district and what a great job they're doing, and how much I support their upcoming levy.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, and we had Jason on last week for part of the show. We had something else we had to throw in there.
So. I saw that. Yeah,
He put his case out there very, very well. I do hope people understand what's going on with that.
Yep, he is. Yeah, him and his crew do a great job. That's for sure.
Yep. So does that pretty much cover the first?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that we can. You know, in times when it's so difficult for many people to have access to health care.
Yeah.
You know, it's expensive, and the resources are slim. In a time when, and that's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't think. You know, so if we can offer the opportunity or the vehicle to get people better and more comprehensive health care, I think we should take that opportunity to do that. That's not going to happen overnight, mind
you. Sure. Sure. You know, one of the biggest challenges, I think, when you talk about access to health care is how tough it is to get family doctors to come into a rural setting. Okay. Is there anything that you believe should be on the commissioner's plate to kind of encourage more doctors to come into this area?
Well, sure. I mean, there's got to be opportunities for physicians and other healthcare workers. You know, if that is in the form of patient load, or if it's in the form of better pay or a better environment, you know, whatever that might be, you know, we do need to attract and retain those physicians and those healthcare workers, their nurses and associated personnel. That's a tough question, of course. You know, how do we do that? But I think, I honestly believe that the commissioner is, as the executive body of Mercer County, working with the healthcare system and with the health district. I think that we can achieve that environment of good practice and good pay and good opportunity for physicians and attract them to our area. You know, we have so much to offer, you know, in this area. And until we can get the physicians and the nurses here to see what we have to offer, you know, that's the first step, of course.
Sure. So let's segue into the second pledge. And sure. And that is, I think, the business labor piece of it. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, the people don't associate Democrats all the time with a strong business sense, you know, but in 38 years in HR, make no mistake, I was a businessman first, you know, and that's because I managed 60% of an organization's budget in the form of payroll, benefits, you know, and all of the associated things that go along with employing people, you know, so in some cases, in many cases, that was in the millions and millions of dollars, you know, so you know, you have to have a good business acumen, you know, in order to manage that kind of money. And so I strongly support our businesses here in Mercer County, because without them, you know, we cannot have a thriving economy. We just can't. However, I'm also a very strong labor guy. You know, I grew up in a family of union plumbers. And so I have a strong sense of how unions affect workers in general. And I, of course, I would support unionization, you know, should that occur. But on the other hand, I also support businesses treating their people well, because I have always said that if you treat your people well, the profits will take care of themselves. And that's always been true in my career. And I think that's just a truism in general. But, you know, I do strongly support businesses, and I'm happy as an HR professional to help them work through those people problems and those labor issues and to help them. You know, when one of my last assignments in human resources was in a hospital system in Corvallis, Oregon, where I was sent out there to negotiate 5 union contracts. So I was actually on that business side of the table in negotiating these contracts. So I have seen both sides of that issue. In fact, I've been a union member. That's how I got money for college. I was a union laborer out of Hall 1410 in Dayton, Ohio, and I poured concrete and, you know, carried hod and ran a jackhammer, did all the things that laborers did in order to get money to go to college. It wasn't nearly as expensive back then.
Yes.
But I did all, but my pay back then for a union laborer was $6.59 an hour. And that was a lot of money back then.
Yes.
And it provided me with a college education. So, you know, I feel very strongly about supporting business and getting new businesses into Mercer County and supporting the ones that are here, and especially the small businesses that are here. You know, and have struggled through the pandemic and have struggled through and now struggling through higher prices and what appears to be an inflationary spiral up. You know, we want to support our small businesses, especially here in Mercer County, but everywhere in general.
Sure. You mentioned in your pledge on the business part of it about your belief in providing a livable wage.
Right.
What does that mean?
That means that wages keep up with the costs. You know, there's a baseline. You know, there's a baseline. That data is freely available about how much it costs for rent, how much it costs for food, you know, on an average, for an average family of 4, let's say, for example. You know, what wage will support that lifestyle? You know, we're not talking about an extravagant lifestyle here. We're talking about the basics, you know, and what wage will support that? You know, at this point in time, I'm not really sure. But one thing I do know is that as the costs spiral upwards, wages aren't keeping pace. You know, and that just leaves our people farther behind. So we have to be cognizant of what the baseline costs are for these people that are struggling. You know, and you know what wage will keep them from being poor. You know, and that's not just poor monetarily, but poor mentally. You know, and motivationally. You know, there's much more to poverty than just money. And you know, that can be a poverty of spirit, and we don't want our citizens in Mercer County to lose their spirit. You know, so we need to find a way to support that with our businesses and make sure there is nothing wrong with making a profit. You know, I strongly support businesses making a profit, but I also do not support wage inequality, and I don't want to see our citizens of Mercer County falling behind in the effort just to get by day to day.
So. And, you know, you don't know if it's true or if it's not true, but there are times when you've heard, especially during rough times, that it seems like Mercer County is almost, I think, because of the nature of businesses that we have in this area, that we tend to be pretty well insulated from the recession type stuff. That when you things are bad in the high industrial areas, we seem to cover that pretty well.
And I think a lot of that has to do with our agricultural base. You know, first of all, big, huge blessings to our farmers here in Mercer County. Yeah. It's a busy time of year for our farmers here, and may all of you be safe and have a wonderful harvest. You know, I hope everything goes well economically and physically in your harvest time, and God bless you all. But our agricultural base, I think, from a Mercer County economy, protects us from some of those things. I mean, we have a large industry here in Mercer County, and they do well. You know, if we are insulated as a result of the spirit of our community, and we have a lot of motivation here. You know, there's a great work ethic that exists here in Mercer County, and I think that work ethic helps us through those. That work ethic is insulating in itself. You know, if there's a way to get it done, the citizens of Mercer County will find that way.
Yeah. So, I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the last three pledge points that we've got to cover. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100-horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. The Fort Recovery Firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 16th from 8 to noon at the Fire Hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom-made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the Fire Hall on Sunday morning, October 16th from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
Thank you.
We're back. Insight.
We're back.
Jack Stogler, this gorgeous Wednesday night. We have in studio not only Rocker. Hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack.
And Neil, but we've got the Democratic candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Don Holboyd, with us, too. And, Don, we've talked about your first couple pledge points. So let's talk about your education and information access.
We are so blessed in Mercer County to have great schools. You know, when I left the human resources profession, I had the honor of substitute teaching here in Mercer County schools for a while before the pandemic hit. And I was just delighted with not only our school administrators, but our teachers, Board of Education, the students. They're just wonderful. Yeah. You know, I spent a lot of time at TriStar teaching there. And TriStar is just a gem of our county.
Yeah.
You know, it's vitally important. You know, I'm a college-educated guy, but you know what? What they're doing at TriStar is just tremendous.
Yeah.
You know, every classroom I stepped into, I discussed with the students how fortunate they were to have this opportunity to learn the trades and the occupations that they were learning at TriStar. And, you know, Tim and Brian at TriStar, just tremendous administrators and running a wonderful program there. You know, but our students here in Mercer County are motivated. You know, they're educated by wonderful educators, in my opinion, and administered by great administrators. Yep. You know, I think families outside of Mercer County would be amazed at how wonderfully our school system is run. And that's all school systems here in Mercer County. You know, it's not just Salina. You know, Coldwater and you know, all the school systems here in Fort Recovery, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, every school system has tremendous educators involved. And so the education is very important to me. You know, and not just college education, but trade education and those types of things. I mean, I substitute taught in welding and agricultural ag tech, agricultural mechanics, precision machining. Now, I don't know anything about those things, but I was able to follow the teacher's plan, and I learned so much, you know, doing that, and from the students as well. You know, the students at TriStar are wonderful, and they're there because they want to be, and they're getting a great education. But I see the same thing in all our school systems. You know, here in St. Henry and Fort Recovery and all over, you know, the Parkway, just tremendous yeah. school systems. So, but one of the keys to the effectiveness of our educators and to the learning of our students is information access. You know, it's expensive and it's difficult. You know, not everyone has the same access to internet access and those kind of services around our county. You know, I want to make sure that they do, even in the most rural parts of our county. You know, so how we do that, I'm not exactly sure yet, because I'm not really exactly sure who's suffering that lack of access. But I will find out as a commissioner, and we'll make sure that those people get access to high-speed internet and the resources that they need to not only provide education, but to learn from that education.
Do you have any idea what that number is? You know, when, like, we spoke to somebody recently, and they talked about, and I think it may have been when we had Larry Brown on, they talked about how when they were doing online learning in the big cities, they would have to have buses go to different neighborhoods and to act as kind of
Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because so many kids in that neighborhood didn't have access. Do we have any idea what that gap is here?
I don't at the moment. I think that number's getting better. You know, as time goes on, I think that number's getting better. But I think it's still woefully low, because everyone should have that access. And what happens when that bus drives away?
Yeah.
You know, it being portable is not the answer, obviously. I mean,
sure.
You know, we've got to get a structure, an infrastructure. An information infrastructure in our county that's reliable, fast, and efficient for all of our students and for all those and professionals as well, you know, that use those services on a daily basis. They need fast, efficient, and reliable access to that data.
Sure. And we don't know exactly what extent or what, you know, if you look at rural Mendon, or, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, some of the least populated areas, maybe, you know, we have no idea what those numbers might be or exactly how many neighborhoods might be void of that.
And Jack, why don't we know? We don't know because we haven't studied it. You know, and we haven't studied it to the extent that we need to study it, in my opinion. You know, we need to find out where and who those people are. And we need to set an infrastructure in place in their location that they can access at their demand. You know, so where are those people? I'm not really sure. How many are there? I don't know. And the reason I don't know either of those answers to those questions is because we have not studied it well enough to know. Yeah. You know, and that I know of. I mean, I don't know of studies that are that involved that would tell us the answer to those questions. But we need to know that before we can plan that infrastructure.
Sure. So anything else on the education piece?
No, I just want to thank all our educators and our administrators and our boards of education around Mercer County for the fine work that they're doing. And on behalf of our students, thank you very much. You know, it's very important, Jack, that we educate our students and keep them here in Mercer County. You know, it's one thing to provide them an education, but we also have to provide them opportunities after their education. Yeah. We want our young people to stay here. We have an amazing group of young people in Mercer County, and we want them to stay here and contribute to the good things about our county. They are the good things about our county. Yeah. You know, and we need them to be here and stay here with us.
So when, like, you talk about that, you know, one of the biggest roadblocks or you know, hurdles that I think is preventing local communities or the county from being able to attract as many as they'd like to, now it doesn't seem as though it's as much the jobs as it is the housing piece of it.
Another issue for sure.
Yeah.
You know, do we know the extent of that housing issue? Again, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly haven't read anything that indicates, you know, how difficult a challenge that is for us. But we'd like to know, and we'd like to solve that problem.
Very good. So let's segue on into the flood control piece. Okay.
Can we use that as a teaser? Can we use that as a teaser? And then we'll take a break and come back?
I think we can.
Good. We'll do that.
I'm a great teaser.
We'll be back right after this.
All right.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. ForRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
With the weather getting cooler, we start thinking about making a big batch of chili, and Wayne Street Market has everything you'll need for your secret recipe. A large selection of seasonings, beans, tomato juice, and tomato soup, fresh and canned tomatoes, shredded cheese, crackers, and of course the ground chuck. And it's a good idea to order your holiday party trays now so they can avoid supply chain issues and have everything you need when it's party time in a few weeks. And you want to make them your first stop every morning with one of their many varieties of coffee and some of their fresh pastries. And if you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, stop into Wayne Street Market, where they always have good hot meals ready to go every day back in their deli. Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, the Lady Indians will host New Bremen, and it will be volleyball senior night, with the ceremony starting at 6 o'clock, and the varsity-only match will start at 6:30. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast, and it will also be available with the NFHS video. Friday night, it'll be football, as our Indians will host the Anna Rockets. The senior night ceremony for football, band, cross country, golf, and cheerleading will start at 6:30. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the game, and it will also be available with the NFHS video. Our pregame show will start at 6:40. Saturday, it will be the last volleyball match of the regular season, as the ladies will travel to Arcanum with a JV match starting at 10 a.m. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of that match, and the NFHS video will be available. Next Monday, our Lady Indians will begin their tournament run with a match at Wayne Trace with a start time of 6 p.m. and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that match. Get out and support our Indians teams this week. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
I'd like to give a shout out to my homies.
All right. You can go ahead and do that now. We're back on the air.
Ah, thank you very much.
Are we back on the air?
Yes.
Just let me know when.
Okay. Well, I'll point at you when Don's through.
Okay.
he has some family.
Yeah.
Listening around the country.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'd like to give a shout out to my wife, Mary Ann, who's back in Salina listening tonight, and thank her for all her support during this campaign. It's been wonderful. But I'd also like to say hi to my sister, Terry. She's out in Portland, Oregon, and her significant other, George. My brother, Jim, in Wilmington, North Carolina. His wife, Jana. Thanks for tuning in. My daughter, Kristen, who's an attorney, a lawyer out in Portland, Oregon. My daughter, Lauren, a veterinarian, and she's currently in Colorado, I believe. But she's living a life of leisure, I think.
Awesome.
My children, Chris, Amber, Matt, Ryan, you know, thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to all of you for your support. My Aunt Candy in Las Vegas.
All right.
Thank you for all your support and during my campaign and all your love that you send every day. I appreciate it, and rest assured that love is very generously returned.
Yeah, fantastic. And just a side note on that, we do record all of these. It'll be in the archives later tonight after Sports Talk is finished, about probably 20 minutes after Sports Talk. We'll have Insight and Sports Talk in our archives available at FortRecoveryRadio.com, and then just click on the archives, and it'll be the first one. But if you wait till, you know, if you want to listen to it a year or 5 years from now, you'll have to scroll and find it. But it will be there. So,
thank you, Neil.
Yep.
So, Don, you had started talking right before the break about your flood control pledge, and that's something that I think is kind of an out of sight, out of mind type thing.
It is.
So why don't you go into like your thoughts on the flood control issue?
Well, frankly, Jack, it should not be an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. You know, it is not a matter of if we will have flooding again in Mercer County. It is a matter of when we will have flooding again in Mercer County. And if we have done nothing since the last flood to counter that property damage and that crop damage, then we will have failed. And in my opinion, you know, my experience with the Miami Conservancy Districts is very valuable to the citizens of Mercer County and flood control, because I know where the resources are located. I understand the conservancy law, which is section 6101 of the Ohio Revised Code. And I understand that how that law works. We have the ability of forming a sub-district or a conservancy district here in Mercer County if we so desire. But the key is to prevent that flooding, which is inevitable. And we have experienced property damage. We have experienced crop damage. You know, there has been a significant financial loss. The insurance for that is a well-designed flood control system, which can take on many forms. You know, it can take on the form of retention. You know, it can take on the form of diversion. I mean, there are many ways to attack that, but I am not an engineer, but I know where those engineers are. And I know how to work with the Army Corps of Engineers and other conservancy districts around the state. There are a dozen other conservancy districts around the state that are ready, willing, and able to provide us with expertise and advice on designing a flood control system, and that's unique to the way that our waters behave during high levels. So it's not everyone has the same flood, Jack. You know, Dayton has a different flood, you know, than the Muskingum, and Cleveland has a different flood than Mercer County. You know, not everyone has the same flood. So flood control systems are as unique as the waters that produce them. You know, so as one of my pledges to Mercer County is that we will investigate that. You know, we will find out why we flood the way we do, and come up with a plan to avoid that in the future. It's very easy once the waters have receded and the property damage is cleaned up to forget that it ever happened. But understand this, it will happen again. And it will happen again and again and again until we design something that prevents it from happening.
Fantastic. And you know, your experience and your perspective is one that is unique to you know, most Mercer Countyans.
Well, yes, I would agree that's true. No. But you know, it's kind of a sensitive spot for me because of my background, of course.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I've seen the devastation that flooding can produce. Actually, in 1988, I worked in collaboration with two history professors from Wright State University to produce a book called Keeping the Promise, a pictorial history of the Miami Conservancy District. And I encourage our citizens and our listeners to pick up a copy of that book. It was produced in commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the 1913 flood, and it shows you some of the devastation that took place. Now, that event in Dayton was about a lot of the Miami Valley was affected by that, as far north as Lockington. And just to have a look at that book to see what kind of devastation can be wrought in developed areas, but also in agricultural areas.
Sure.
You know, we suffer a lot of damage in crops, and I understand about insurance, but you know what happens if you're insured and you file a claim. First of all, you have to fight. Secondly, you know, it's never enough. You know, and third, your rates go up proportionately.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can avoid that. And insurance companies, when it comes to flood insurance and damage control in your own property, you know, insurance companies look very fondly on communities that have taken steps to avoid the danger as opposed to just cleaning up the danger after it's occurred.
Fantastic. So you talked about your fifth pledge, and I don't think that your fifth pledge is necessarily unique, but I think it kind of reflects your belief in the importance of transparency in the process. So why don't you talk about your town hall meetings?
Sure, I think it's really important that everybody in Mercer County, every citizen that lives in Mercer County has direct access to their commissioners. And in my case, I would like them to be able to walk into my office. I would like to be able to be at their meetings in townships and cities and villages. I would like to be at their meetings so that we can talk, you know, person to person, so that I understand the challenges that they face every day in their individual communities. But, you know, one of the things that my campaign is built on is unity through community. And that's absolutely vital, you know, that all of our communities worked for the benefit of Mercer County, and that Mercer County works for the benefit of all our communities. You know, we can be united. You know, you've introduced me as the Democratic candidate for Mercer County Commissioner. Well, I'm here to tell you that, you know, if elected commissioner, I represent all people here. You know, I have met and talked to my opponent, Dave Buescher, on at least three separate occasions. We seem to like one another. We get along very well. Yeah, I admire Dave and his young family. You know, I think Dave is a very good guy, and I really like him. You know, we approach problems differently. That's to be expected. You know, but Dave's a good man, and I appreciate the opportunity to run against him in this election. But I also think that I can offer a different voice and a different perspective, one that we've not had in Mercer County for many years. You know, we've had one side represented on the county commissioner, all three seats, you know, for many years. And, you know, I'd like to be that voice that's different, you know, that comes from a different perspective. Now, let's face it, if elected, you know, I'll be the only one with that voice on the county commission. And there's a good possibility that I would be voted down 2-1 on many, many issues. However, it's just vital that voice be there, I think, you know.
Sure.
And the only way that voice can be effective is if I know what the citizens of Mercer County are thinking and the challenges that they face. So in order to do that, I'm going to meet with them regularly throughout the term of my office. and know what challenges they're facing in each community. That being the case, I can better represent them, I can better be their voice, and I want to do just that.
Very good. You know, your five-point pledge is very encompassing of most of the issues that I think concern Mercer County people. Okay, one thing that you don't touch on, and I think it is important because I think in this day and age, the safety and security piece of it is you know, very important to people. So could you touch a little bit on your philosophy regarding the, you know, county sheriff's office and law enforcement in general, and your approach to how you would work with them?
Absolutely, Jack, and a great question too. Contrary to some professing Democrats' defunding of law enforcement, that is absolutely entirely false, 100% false. The Mercer County Democrats, and I should mention that I am vice chairman of the party in Mercer County. The Mercer County Democrats strongly support the sheriff's levy coming up here. Please be reminded, as probably Jeff and others have reminded you. You know, Jeff came to our executive committee meeting along with the county auditor and the county treasurer. We were absolutely delighted to have him at our executive committee meeting and talked about the levy. You know, please be reminded that is a renewal, number one. You know, that it's not adding anything to anybody's property tax or income tax. It is a sales tax, so it's contributed to by people outside the area as well. You know, but the Mercer County Democrats very much support the levy coming up for the sheriff's office. And we had been asked by a Mercer County Republican to compose a letter. The chairman of our party, Sophia Rodriguez, compose a letter in support of the levy coming up. We supported it before Jeff arrived, but you know but our chairman very willingly and very graciously said certainly we'd love to write a letter to the editor in support of the sheriff's levy, and we did. And then it was suggested by our officers that perhaps it would be co-authored, you know, by the chair of the Republican Party, and then sent in together a letter to the editor from the chairman of the Democratic Party and the chairman of the Republican Party, and how we all support, you know, the levy coming up. I was saddened last night to learn that the leadership of the Republican Party has requested that they not do that, that they want to send their own letter, which is certainly perfectly within their rights. But I was very excited to have that show of unity, and because, you know, unity through community, right? This is a community issue, you know, with our policing and our sheriff's office. And that letter to the editor signed by the chairman of both parties in Mercer County would have just been a tremendous demonstration of that unity.
Sure.
And I'm disappointed that's not going to happen. But, you know, I do want to say that from a personal standpoint, I strongly support law enforcement. I think that we can do a better job of community policing, you know, and getting to the streets. You know, one of the things that Sheriff Gray talked about when he was at our meeting was that some services would be affected in response to incidences where they're not required by law to respond. You know, that's, I understand that, but I think it's the basis of good community policing, you know, and we can't afford to lose those services, you know, as unmandated as they may be. You know, it's the basis of good policing.
Sure.
and touching our citizens on a personal level. So I think that's really important. So my approach to law enforcement is fully supportive. Number one, I don't want to see any money come away from any law enforcement agency in Mercer County. You know, I'm not real crazy about enforce or promoting militarizing our police department, but I am certainly in support of them doing their job, supporting them doing their job, and by all means, and above all else, assuring that they are safe and taken care of in their work.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and kind of put a real nice bow on this past hour and make sure that we've touched on all the things that you'd like to touch on. So,
and we'll then we'll get back to Rocker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We'll be back after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
Hello, this is Mary Diller, co-chairman of the One of a Kind Auction. The One of a Kind Auction is an annual event held in Fort Recovery that raises funds to support our local museum, Project Recovery, and the Historical Society. This year's event will be held on Sunday, October 23rd, with a theme of Christmas in October. It is a perfect opportunity to get an early start on Christmas shopping and support local historical organizations at the same time. Items at this year's auction include destination trips, musical events, fashionable purses and jewelry, toys, Christmas decorations, unique handmade items, an ultimate Christmas package that includes all you need for a Christmas party, including Santa, and so much more. So come to spend the evening with us on Sunday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School. Tickets are $10 per person and are available at the BU Boutique or contact me through Facebook. We hope to see you there. Happy holidays.
We're back. We're wrapping up an hour with Don Holvoit, the Mercer County candidate for the Democratic candidate for Mercer County Commissioner. Don, it has been a quick hour.
It has flown by, Jack.
It really has, hasn't it? So, you know, I want to make sure that we allow you to dot your I's and cross your T's here, just in case there's anything that we missed or points that you'd really like to emphasize.
I'd like to emphasize the basis of my campaign, the unity through community. You know, it is vital that we all come together. You know, the divisiveness that faces our country is not only not necessary, it's not productive, and it's just not wholesome. You know, this community is one of wholesome, good people, and Mercer County should be a model for the country. You know, in work ethic, in faith, you know, in how we do business here. And I would like for the whole country to see how Mercer County operates, you know, and how wonderful our people are. But I also want everyone to know that, you know, electing me as a commissioner would provide you with a voice, and not just a Democratic voice, a voice in representation of everyone in Mercer County. You know, please understand that my unity through community will follow through after the election, should I be honored to be selected as your next county commissioner.
Fantastic. Well, Don, I tell you what, part of the benefit that you get for running for county commissioner and being on this show is getting to sit in on a Rocking with Rocker.
That show's been canceled quite some time ago.
It has?
We're not really playing music so much anymore. We're not rocking. We're doing This Day in Pop Culture History.
Yeah, Day in Pop Culture History. So, Don, before you leave, I would love for you to sit in on Rocker's Pop Culture History.
Yeah, and you can help us harass him with everything he says.
Excellent. I'm a great, well, I don't know, I don't want to say that. I'm a great teaser.
There you go.
Yeah, you don't want to say harasser.
Yeah, and especially not if you were in human resources.
Yeah,
not appropriate.
Doesn't look good on the resume.
Yeah.
Jack, how you doing, bud?
Rocker, I'm doing fine. You know what? I'm sorry that I missed you last week, but I heard Bubba got you on, right?
Well, I got bumped for...
You got bumped.
Like Johnny Carson.
That's right.
Yep.
So what you got for us tonight?
On this day in pop culture history, October 11th, the very first Saturday Night Live premiered on NBC. You want to guess who the first host was?
The first host? I heard...
What year?
1975.
I'm going to say George Carlin.
And he'd be right.
George Carlin.
Was it really?
Also gave us the famous episode where Andy Kaufman did the Mighty Mouse thing.
Oh man. That was so incredible.
Who?
I cried.
Who were the original cast members?
Well, you had Chevy Chase, Jane Curtin.
Gilda Radner. John Belushi.
Yep. Aykroyd was...
Bill Murray. A couple years later, I think.
Yeah, third season, yeah.
Yeah.
Also...
Garrett Morris?
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know who he was early.
October 12th.
Good job.
Thanks.
1997, a sad day. John Denver pulled a... Buddy Holly, and went into the old Monterey Bay.
Take me home.
Great singer, horrible pilot.
Yep.
Okay, about four or five hits, and then it was night for Johnny.
Yeah.
My favorite John Denver song was Blow Up the TV.
What?
That was his first album before anybody ever heard of him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm probably the only person still alive that's ever heard that song.
See how that went over.
It was neat. It was one of those neat songs. I thought John Denver's really something. And then he was.
Oh, it's area birthday time.
Oh, boy.
Well, not too area, but...
Facebook friends.
Yeah. On Tuesday, my old cousin from Oregon, Todd Sowers.
Oh, Jesus.
We're at in Oregon.
I believe it's Boring, Oregon.
Bullring?
Boring.
Oh, you said Bullring.
No, not Bullring.
Didn't seem like they had bullrings in Oregon.
No.
I don't know why you even said that.
Today we got Krista King, which was Schmitz.
Oh, yep.
Today's Krista's birthday?
Yep.
Happy birthday, Krista.
And Friday, we got Jocelyn Kaiser and Jody Severin Brunswick.
Very good.
All right.
And, of course, this time, this program, it's the Citizen of the Day.
My wife was Citizen of the Day last week. Hey.
Okay, now, what we got here?
The next show is October the 19th.
I'm out next week.
Whose birthdays are you going to miss?
Bob Hope. Also, I'll miss Homer Stouter.
How about Kim Feely? Bob Sunday.
Yeah. She got this list in the day.
How about Bubba?
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bubba.
Well, thank you, Neil.
Guess what I'm going to get you?
Nothing.
Same thing I got you last year.
Rocker, how old do you think Bob's going to be?
Oh, this will be fun.
37.
55.
Right on the nose.
Hey, bingo.
You don't look a day over 54.
A pop.
He'll be 57.
Just don't worry about him.
58, maybe.
Back to the citizen of the day. Pat May, Ron's wife.
Huh?
Pat May.
We like Pat May.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Celebrity birthday time.
Oh, boy.
Brought to you by Hastings Auto Sales.
All right.
Good plug.
Let's go, good plug.
Tuesday.
Joe so far, it's been the citizens of the day has been Kim and Harold.
We got. You know,
you can tell who buys his breakfast in the morning, can't you?
And yet, I don't drive a car, so I don't buy a vehicle. So, Joe Cusack turns 60.
What?
Joe Cusack turns 60.
Okay.
Well, that wasn't a what did you say what. It was an I can't believe what you said what. What does that mean? Who is that?
She's an actress.
Oh, he's a she. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wait, you say John Cusack?
Joe.
Okay, let's try this again for the people who can hear.
Huh?
Joan Cusack.
Joan.
Oh. Not John.
I swear you said Joe.
Joan.
Her brother is John, though.
I thought you said Joe.
Let's move on. Jane Krakowski turns 54.
Yep, I've heard of her.
Cardi B turns 30.
Well, then.
Crickets on that one.
You missed the best one.
Bubba? No.
Mario Lopez, Saved by the Bell.
Shame.
You take the back.
Today's birthdays.
Okay. Those were yesterday's?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Chris Wallace turns a crisp 75.
Chris Wallace. He gets fired about every week, don't he?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, should.
And, of course, some of you boys dream gal back in the day. Susan Anton is a 72.
Ooh.
72.
Yeah. Hard to believe. Can that possibly be?
Yeah.
Wolverine boy Hugh Jackman turns 54.
She had a hit song. Susan Anton had a hit song.
I thought maybe that, but let me look and see.
Huh? Am I right?
You're looking at a guy. I just now heard that.
Yeah, let me see.
I'm thinking she had a duet with someone.
Oh, I remember her from was the Cannonball Run movies.
See, how about Fred Knobloch?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll see what that one was.
Killing Time?
I don't know. I got to go look up Fred Knobloch.
While you people are doing that,
his wife, wasn't it?
Oh, we're not through. We're not through jabbering yet, Rocker. Yeah. You can't go on until we find Fred Knobloch. Hey. And Susan, that time, Killing Time, 1980.
Yeah. This is the greatest day in my life. I'd just like to thank everybody that made this possible today. Don, thanks for coming in. Rocker, thanks
He's
for
not through yet.
I'm not done yet, genius.
Susan, thanks for having the birthday today.
And it's long.
We got three more there, Scooter.
Oh, sorry.
So look, I think maybe now I just found the song.
Oh, boy.
That ain't
jump a little. It says.
All right, Roger. Next person.
It says it's Susan Anton, and oh, that's some guy in the background. That's Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Russell.
Yeah. He must have jumped.
That's a whole different career path for old Nipsey.
All right, Rocker, go ahead.
Okay, we've screwed that up enough. So
let's try this again. Hugh Jackman turns 54. Kirk Cameron turns 52. Growing Pains.
Who?
Not Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yes.
No. Libby Scared, Bodie Miller, turns 45. And ventriloquist Darcy Lynn turns 18, legal 18. Jody appreciates that, by the way.
Sounds like maybe pest control season.
It does.
As Bob Barker used to say, have your pet spayed and neutered.
Okay.
Very good. Rocker, thank you, buddy. Don, I'm sorry I made you sit through this. You've been on the campaign trail for 6 months. You have a very nice one-hour discussion here, and then I make you sit through us five guys.
Yep. Sorry.
Sorry. Unfortunately, I felt right at home.
you got a little dose of what happens at the Christmas show.
Yeah. So, Don, I tell you what. Dose. Thank you for coming in. I wish you luck here in three weeks, isn't it?
Yes.
And
4 weeks from yesterday, I think.
Yep. Getting close. Yep.
And you can vote by mail or any early voting things, you can do that now.
Yep. Early voting started today. Yes. Yep. Jack, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you. Neil, thank you for your hospitality.
Absolutely.
The snacks and the refreshments were just wonderful, and I appreciate that.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And you know what? Thank your family members for tuning in. It's fantastic to
all over the country.
Have people from all over the country. So.
Yeah, you bet.
So stay tuned for Sports Talk.
Yes.
Bubba and Fee will be on right after this. We'll see you next week.
This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you